going to finish this poem there about money. Good about a couple as well, an older couple. Probably a capitalist poem. This kind of section dividers, I don't know what I bother even reading about. Parallel lovers. At night she wakes and feels the money move. The sea is nearer tonight. She listens to wave after wave. Intangible, electrical, the money flashed between brains. From server in glinting impulse to server across the time zones. She thinks of all the lit up planes right now, rising and landing. That stream in an unstinting queue. In brilliant trails, faster than dawn to horizons west of here. Pathways the money both is and symbolizes. The security desk. Wallace Stevens said, money is a kind of poetry. Yes, it has rhythm. The book kept symmetry. Each debit finding its rhyme on the opposite side of the ledger. And its currents at night have a flickering aesthetic. And it cycles in predictable meter. Its seasons falling like stresses, boom, bust. But its weather ineffable. Just ask the analysts, baffled, resentful, in awe, to tell the why, not the what, of their grasp. Her husband sculpts money and responds to his mind's brisk slice. Options are formed, like making fade of water or engineering light. Hexadecimal. The language of money is neither Christian nor Jewish. It's not Swiss Deutsch or toned Cantonese, nor world acid English even. Plain and lobby speak, fluid, dissolving lects with bland flexible ease. No, my son, that language is a two-note affair. It's one on zero and altering, one and zero and altering repeat. As the terminal discourse comes, we learn it together, and our mouths will still pieces of eight. The men in the grey suits. She remembers the day the money went south. Nearly what Gwydde not further or Cal. She remembers the tide still came in and went out, though the men in grey suits were at the airport of the capital. She remembers the forced and muted laughter in the bar, as if a final or a trawler had been lost. They poured like any other night, the wine, the beer. She remembers that no rum could get them pissed. A prayer. Money be good to me, money be my friend. Catch me not beyond the glow of your transmissions. Suffer not your servant to suffer your indifference. And grant me all this, not just once, but again. This curvaceous sommelier, this plate of crab ate different ways, that the spirit delicate text. This sweet stinging vintage, ram head above the sea's torque brittleness in winter, cherish me until and beyond the end of my days. Offshore, she looks for her still core amid the dunes. She bends, she plucks salted grass from the crackling shale fringe. He's just a contrail dissipating somewhere, Kashmir, a blackberry bearing east. He's second hand air, a business class ticket, her picture in his wallet. Nothing is stolen nor yet cancelled out. The tide placid insistence tongue is only wave after wave of finance washing up on this green haven. Terminal. It is both the loom and what is woven, the money. Its own transactions are its warp and weft. Nothing is built. Nothing is yet cancelled out. Its beams and shuttles are transactions too. Planes nictate their terminals while transactions pulse across worlds. She watches for him in arrivals. He fears his speech at the options conference drag a bit. It's a machine engendered for its own remaking. Programmed, deft, it unravels, reweaves itself again. Our lives are patterns in stitch design. Octave. Ní léinn rud cuir ar ceal, ní léinn rud gwidhe, agarlum, a mhen mí gjo I djumte a céile. Tá an ganas so óir I solis na madna. Agus an tishke arigid maskelohor, tá sé có gheal, óras creua, ní léinn rud tóga, ní léinn rud cuir ar ceal. Thanks.
Thanks, Billy. Next up, we have Claire and Tracy. I've never actually read a poem that is in Book of Catholic. So I'm a bit
nervous.
I filled the blanks and everything and I'm this is called These Moments Thoughts. A Jimmy Joe lands lightly by my feet and stirs gently in the breeze. It seems to want to say to me, regard me, look. It moves, but ever so slightly, back and forth. Its thin, white little legs stretch and reach out, willing the breeze to roll us along again. Delicately, so delicately. The obliging breeze gives a blow, and he's off. Suddenly, 100 or so surround me, soft, cotton white, fluffy, bouncing balls moving on the invisible air. They float around my head in slow motion, move on me. It's not often I get these moments. The usual day to day is only 700. Yes, these moments of complete clarity, like an old friend urging me to remember that there is a unity which surrounds us every second. The only stop to take a look. There's a little voice that seems to say, look at me and I will be okay. A wasp answers an attack on my like your mind.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, we are running short on time, so if we keep it just to one poem per person, next we have Tom McCartney.
About my favourite habit, which is smoking. It's called choosing a brand. They say it's the cigarette that chooses you, but looking at my track record, I'm not sure that's true. For you see, apparently cigarettes are bad for you. Pall Mall, Marlboro and Silk Up Purple has smoked them all. Now all that remains is the ash and the fall. A shark can take accompanies each on the first try. You get so lightheaded you think you can fly, leaping like a gazelle across the line to score a try. Until tolerance and turbulence fills in the bloodstream and in the air. All these interactions make a funny affair. Go ahead and smoke if you dare. The hand that grasps the cancer stick is never the same. Self-assured, fragile, or bloody insane. And yet it's a challenge from which I can never refrain. Casting an eye back over the ruins of Pompeii, it's hard to decide if it's worth the day, when the initial excitement tends to stray. Only for a moment when the weather is fine. Clouds will emerge now at any time. About as welcome as a revenue commissioner's fine. But what would you miss out on, I hear you ask, if you hide away and decide not to bask, refusing to take on this gigantic task? Slapping on the sunscreen, sunglasses and hat, keeping your emotions completely intact. In a dark room years from now, you will be set. One thing I know is that they all were blonde, and at one stage I must have been fond, and like all fools, I continue to long. Now I grasp a cigarette that is all mine, slightly curved to the base of its spine. Or ours together lying entwined. Invoke the thunder, lightning, and rain, and trade it all for auditory pain. To hell with it, I won't refrain.
You just gave me a cigarette before I met. Next up, we have. Niall Herriot. Sarah had a poem about being put in boxes, so this is about me putting myself in boxes. Who are you? Who are you, asked a friend, in a game of truth or dare? What has your life been for you? It can be fun to go for the dare, although of this be aware. So I decided to try the truth. It had to be concise. About 100 words, to be precise. I have played many roles in the chaotic game of life, worn a multitude of masks, roamed the wide world over, turned my hands to many tasks. Get on with it, they said. In a nutshell, 100 words, starting now. Okay, okay. I was a traveling war babe in the 40s, an only child and a rock child of the 50s. a mover and shaker of sorts in the 60s, disillusioned idealist in the 70s, family man and wage slave in the 80s, eco-freak and seeker of the spirit in the 90s, writer, kind of, traveler, grower, would-be artist, and searching still in the noughties. In the coming teenies decade, will at last this grandpa find the miracle, the perfect peace of mind, before he shuffles off this stage?
Thank you, Mario. And next we have Michael Ray.
Church Road, rented as a triptych down an iron-gated path. This crumbling red brick edifice sucks away the neighbor's love. Susan at the ground floor, misconduct to the bell. A boost for her profession now that Church Road's gone to hell. Has clients coming through the night and doesn't even try. Till then, it's steamy bubble bath through her 18th room carriage. Letting in a trick assets suitably exposed, she gives the sky a souring eye as it skirts around Church Road. On the first floor, librarian Anne worries through the day about her pussy's cataclysms with a mangy ginger spray. After work, she scribbles fiction and views the passing man, clinking from the off-license, her habits now abandoned. In the sewers-bound Church Road, the rats sleep back to back for fear of yet another prophylactic attack. The artists on the top floor, in attic room skips, have a hospice for sick mannequins sporting traffic-toned hips. They lounge around the living room, leer at unsuspecting dates, produced with tea and cheese and toast as a larger plate. A bucket in the corner catches the starless sky, filled with yellow water and a drug-induced sigh. Rain falls on the carpet, reeking heavily of piss. Outside, the traffic lights are winking at the hiss. Wet, silent night music squeals secular orchestration. Since what's left with a one-way ticket from Church Road railway station.
Thank you, Michael. Next up, we have one of our judges, Joanne.
Fragmented, twisted into a shambled street of quaintness, faint black and white jittering houses under their loose foundations from 1845, entangled in their petticoats, forget-me-nots of bygone Britain, drawn smooth, soothed paper over my sadness, a reminder of the perfect love I always had, my first love, music. As unpure as a fistful of spite, I cut the cords with my mental energy, nursing a juice, hardly true rock and roll style these days. Loops of freshness and panting impatience, breathless male musicians breathing back animated rhythm into these crusty walls. I leave my sympathies with the neon outdated Christmas lights that entwine the upstairs balcony of this well-trodden bore, lonesome as I was before.
Thank you, Sarah. And next we have Patricia Walsh.
Okay, in accordance with the requirements, I'll be mostly short and mostly sweet. And this is called Proverbs. You cannot expect to cast a shadow unless the sun is shining on you from behind. Next.
Thank you, Patricia. Next up, we have a double act, Song Wei and Pat Carter.
Song Wei is from Shanghai. She's on a literary exchange here. While she's here, the Irish poet Colin Pranoff is spending 2 months in Shanghai. And Song Wei has done a very generous thing to translate one of my poems into Mandarin and suggested that we read it here tonight.
Yes.
A poem written a long, long time ago about an encounter with a woman who was born near the Chinese year of the tiger. A tigress is a girl who breakfasts in your bed without eating you. A tigress is a girl whose first nakedness is the perfection of her shoulders quaking your heart. A tigress is a girl with claws as sharp as gentleness touching you. A tigress is a girl with kisses like Chinese torture scorching you. A tigress is a girl with hair as russet as the walnut scent which lulls you. A tigress is a girl with eyes as dark as dreamless sleep enshrouding you. Tigress is a girl who licks up all your purring like milk before leaving you. A tigress is a girl whose image echoes in your head like a roar affrighting you. A tigress is a girl who is camouflaged in the jungle of her own emotions, eluding you.
吃早餐，却并不打算吃掉你。这头老虎，它告诉我露出它完美无瑕的肩膀，就令你的心开始颤栗。这头老虎，它的爪子锋利的有如温柔在触摸你。这头老虎，它的吻宛如中国式的酷刑，烙铁般灼痛了你。这头老虎，它褐色的发散发着胡桃木的气息，催眠了你。 这头老虎，它的双眸是无梦的深邃覆盖着你。这头老虎，它像舔牛奶一样舔完了你所有的身影，在离开你之前。这头老虎，它的身影反复盘旋在你的脑海中，有如兽的咆哮回响不息，令你胆战心惊。这头老虎，它始终隐身在自己内心的丛林中。
Thank you so much, and thank you, Pat Carter. Okay, we're going to try and squeeze in our last two poets here. Before we get kicked out. So, second last on the bill tonight is Jerry Murphy.
Once by Pat Cotter, it's a performance poet, which
can actually read this stuff afterwards. I'm not a performance boy, I just discovered that tonight. Thanks for the fuck. Cortege. This is actually dedicated to Matthew Sweeney because there's a poem that Matthew should have written, but I actually saw the poem. It just happened in front of me. Cortege. Somewhere back at the traffic light, perhaps, the chief morning cars may have lost contact with the hearse and then cut up again, only to find the ice cream van clipping along cheerfully behind the car. Either that, or the ice cream man is dead.
Thank you, Jerry. And to end the night for us tonight, none other than Alan Tishy.
To lower the tone as usual. This is an entirely disgusting poem, so if you have a queasy stomach, leave right now. There's a Cork slang word which I think has gone out of fashion, but was very common when I was going to school about 100 years ago. Fudgies. Anyone know what fudgies are?
Yeah.
Fudgies are things that boys used to have in their pocket, and it could be anything at all, you know. And basically, it's about this mysterious thing in a boy's pocket called fudgies. Not quite as mysterious as a woman's handbag or anything but a handbag. Like a lipstick, powder, like a chainsaw, you know, anything at all. That's another poem, Jerry. Hang on. All right, fudgies. A boy's pocket is the most wonderful place in the world. It's there you will find the fumbling secret slowly furled, the bit of dried chewing gum run through with matted hair, the glassy marble, the piece of string, the broken nail, the butt of pencil, sticky but suitably chewed, something brown and sharp, which was once a tooth, a chestnut, conqueror of a corner of the great school yard, a crust of scab, which was once soft, which was now is hard, a bullseye sweet, sticky, black, white, once in the gob, now appears like something fished up from the glob, a plastic plectrum abandoned by a broken guitar, decorated with the icing from a friend's guitar. Neither eye of newt nor toe of frog, just the butt and furry tail of a scabrous dog. What's this then? A dried up flake of lemon curd, or even a specially preserved chunk of fox's turd? A dead fly without wings, a crushed beetle, a rolling stone, a football card, a brass button, last year's Christmas lucky bone. But the best of all, the coup de grace, the loveliest piece of grot, is its lovingly moulded blob of yellow-green winter snot.